Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Well, if you've been watching the news for the last couple of days related to the attack, the Islamic terrorist attack that took place in Orlando recently, you saw that there was some new developments starting on Sunday. On Sunday, of course, they have a number of Sunday talk shows that take place. And a lot of times, various administrations, in this case, of course, the Obama administration, uses those Sunday talk shows to announce certain policy changes, sometimes certain important announcements and so forth. This past week was the an incident took place in which Loretta Lynch went out on these talk shows. She's the Attorney General, of course, of the United States. And she went out on these talk shows and announced on the talk shows that she would, that the Department of Justice would be releasing some of the Orlando 9/11 calls, the calls that were made by the Islamic terrorists during the event, about a half an hour after the event had taken place, while he had hostages inside the building. This was first reported. The first time I saw it was on Real Clear Politics. The article said this. It said Lynch, with a semicolon after it. It says, partial transcript, and that's in quotes, of the Orlando 9/11 calls will have references to Islamic terrorism removed. And so the article goes on to say this, in an interview with NBC's Chuck Todd, Attorney General Loretta Lynch said that on Monday, the FBI will release edited transcripts of the 911 calls made by the Orlando nightclub shooter to the police during his rampage. Quote, what we're not going to do is further proclaim this man's pledges of allegiance to terrorist groups and further his propaganda, unquote, Lynch said. Quote, we are not going to hear him make his assertions of allegiance, and then in parentheses, to the Islamic State, unquote. So that was the first announcement. And by the way, even Chuck Todd during that interview seemed to be taken aback by the fact that this would be edited transcripts, that they would be redacted, and portions of the transcripts would not appear. And so he seemed to focus in the interview on what they wouldn't be hearing, you know, what was going to be left out. Well, this announcement by the Attorney General really caused quite a stir, and a lot of people, rightfully so, were wondering what is going on here, that any sort of reference to Islamic terrorism and ISIS was being scrubbed from this this transcript that was going to be released. Now, remember, they're not releasing the audio. They're just giving a transcript of it, and then the transcript itself was then scrubbed or was edited or redacted, you know, and these things were removed. Now, she says that the reason this was done is to not give this man a platform. Well, the uproar was deafening from the American people, I think mostly so. But then also Congress finally moved a little bit as well. And so shortly thereafter, it said another article came out. This one was in Fox News. It says the FBI and the DOJ release new full transcripts of the Orlando shooter's 911 call. And this is interesting because of the way that they said they would do it. But it says this in the article. This is on FoxNews.com. It says, under pressure from Republican leaders, and again, I would add the American people more so than that, but under pressure from Republican leaders, the Justice Department on Monday afternoon reversed itself and released a full uncensored transcript of the Orlando terrorist 911 calls on the night of the massacre, calling the morning's furor over admissions in the document, quote, an unnecessary distraction, unquote. So earlier, the earlier version, the article goes on to say, of the transcript had deleted the word Islamic State and the name of the ISIS leader and so forth in the document. So the article goes on to explain that. So now the new one is out and it's the full transcript. Let me just say that there's something still wrong with this transcript. And what's wrong with this transcript is that although he speaks in Arabic on part of the transcript, when the translation is done, it translates Allah to God. And that particular part of it, you know, where the FBI changes Allah to God, is not something new. This is something that has been happening with the Obama administration, you know, other times before, where they seem to make that type of a translation. Well, here to help us sort through all of this is Robert Spencer. Robert is the director of Jihad Watch. They do an excellent job of keeping up that all with all that's taking place regarding the Islamic terrorism that's taking place not only here in the States, but across the world. Robert, website where you can keep track of all that Robert's reporting on, and his books are available out there as well. His most recent book is called The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran. He's got a number of books, but that's the most recent one. You can find all that information out at www.jihadwatch.org. That's www.jihadwatch.org. Robert, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Great to be back. Thanks very much.
Well, Robert, I gave a little bit of some background here about what's taking place. Why don't you give us your assessment? What in the world is going on with the Justice Department and the Obama administration as a whole that this type of PR program seems to be underway?
It's very clear that the Obama administration has been consistent since it came into office in trying to obscure and deny and downplay the reality of Islamic Jihad terrorism. And the way that they've handled this release of this transcript is just the latest incident of it. First, they hoped to remove all of, well, they did remove all of the mention of Islam from the transcript, hoping that it would obscure the fact that the guy was indeed a jihad terrorist, since, after all, what they want to do is portray him as being, portray the incident as being one that shows the need for gun control. And that's all it's about as far as they're concerned. And so the Islamic terror content of what he said to the 9/11 operator would be inconvenient for their narrative. So they first deleted it all, but since Loretta Lynch was so foolish or unwise or thoughtless as to reveal that that's what they were going to do, rather than just release a redacted transcript without an explanation or say that it was a national security thing or something, she explained this is what they're going to do. They're going to leave it all out. And so consequently, there was enough public pressure from the American people that the full transcript was released. But even then, as you have noted, the fact that they translated Allah for God is yet another attempt to obscure the fact that this man was specifically a Muslim, acting specifically on Islamic principles, and not just, you read this transcript and you see that he's saying, in the name of God and in the name of his prophet. You don't have any clue, if you haven't been paying attention, that this is a Muslim. He could be some crazy right-wing fanatical Christian that the administration is always telling us we have to be on guard against.
In Breitbart News yesterday came out, said Obama administration has a history of scrubbing Allah from the transcripts. And one of the most notable cases was when Bird Dog, his parents were invited to the White House. And when the father spoke, He made a phrase. He gave a phrase about in the name of Allah, the most gracious and most merciful, which I understand is a phrase that begins almost every chapter in the Quran. And
yes, that's right.
And this is a phrase, you know, making this type of a phrase at the White House specifically was quite significant because it, you know, it really rallied the Islamic terrorists, you know, to have a statement like this made right on the grounds of the White House. Tell us a little bit about the importance of that phrase about and specifically about mentioning, you know, Allah in that phrase.
It was kind of ludicrous, Pastor, because what happened was the father of Bo Bergdahl, with his big beard that implied that he himself had converted to Islam, and amid the many, many indications that Bergdahl himself had converted to Islam, the press conference is going on at the White House, and he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which is in the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, which begins 113 of the Quran's 114 chapters. And the official White House transcript said that he said something in Pashtun, which is a language in Afghanistan, but actually it was Arabic. And anybody, you know, you don't even have to know Arabic to know that it's an Arabic phrase, because it begins almost all but one of the chapters of the Quran, and it's a very common phrase in Islam, in the Islamic world, in Arabic in general. And so there again, that the White House was trying to obscure the Islamic content of what was happening, probably also trying to obscure that Bergdahl had likely converted to Islam and was collaborating with the enemy, since they were hailing him as a hero. They didn't want that kind of thing coming out.
And so in the transcript of that, the translation of it, they mention again, rather than Allah there, they refer to it just as God, obviously a much more generic term, which would fit just about any religion upon the face of the earth, and again, hiding the fact that it had some sort of an association with Islam in all of these cases. Let me ask you something that happens after all of these incidents, these numerous Islamic terrorist attacks. I noticed two things take place, and I wanted you to get your insight on them. One, I noticed that immediately there is this call against any Islamophobia and this this caution against anybody retaliating and so forth. And yet we've never, to my knowledge, have we ever seen any of this take place. And yet we see this happening. And secondly, and these are both big questions, I understand, but the second one is, why does it seem that the president and other leaders in our government seem to suddenly become apologists for Islam? I heard one the other day, and I can't remember exactly what official he was. I think he was with the FBI. But I specifically heard him say that this man does not represent Islam, speaking of the shooter in Orlando, that, you know, he doesn't represent Islam. And so even though he said he did, and in all of these cases, they say they do, but it seems that the administration races out there to become apologists for Islam and to tell the people right away this isn't true Islam. Would you shed some light on those two things?
The administration seems to have taken it upon itself to consider its primary responsibility after every jihad attack to make sure that people don't think ill of Islam. And this is universal. Every American official does this. One wild example was last January when the mayor of Philadelphia, Jim Kenney, was speaking about a Muslim who had gone up to a police officer sitting in his car on a street and had shot him point blank. And luckily he didn't kill him, but he then announced that he did it for Allah, and he did it because he was a follower of ISIS, the Islamic State, and that it was all about Islam. And Jim Kenney, in response, said, this has nothing to do with Islam. So he's once again, as in this case with Orlando, directly contradicting what the shooter himself said. Now, why this happens is beyond me, although I do think we got a clue when it was revealed recently that far-left groups, very well-heeled, well-moneyed far-left groups, had been paying mainstream media outlets for favorable coverage of the Iran nuclear deal. And I thought, when I saw that story, I thought, I bet that's not the first time that money has been paid so that a particular point of view is given to the American people. And the fact that American officials so consistently behave as if they have to cover for Islam and they have to make sure nobody thinks ill of Islam, I wonder if maybe there's a connection to Saudi money and Saudi influence in Washington. I don't have any proof of this, it's just a speculation, but something must be going on, because it's astonishing how in both parties, virtually every public official seems to think that above all, it's his responsibility to cover for Islam and make sure everybody thinks that it's great. And you're right also that there are no Islamophobic attacks, that backlash attacks are always the big story in the news after every jihad attack. We read about or hear about how the mosques are increasing security and afraid of backlash from vigilantes, and it never happens. Recently, there was a story in the Washington Post about how Muslims were worried after the Orlando attack and that they were scared about anti-Muslim incidents. And the story started off with an account of a Muslim woman being yelled at. And I thought, that's all you got? I'm sorry she got yelled at, and the person who yelled was not a very nice person. But 49 people got murdered, and another 53 seriously injured. And we're supposed to be concerned about somebody getting yelled at? This is ridiculous, but it also shows that there really is not Islamophobic backlash in the United States. And that whole idea is trumped up in order to deflect attention away from the grim reality of jihad terror.
Mm-hmm. You know, Robert, and let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Robert Spencer. Robert is the director of Jihad Watch. You can go out to that website, find out more about Robert, the books that he has written, as well as the news items that he is commenting on out there at that website. It's jihadwatch.org, www.jihadwatch.org. Robert, one of the things, another tactic that is used when these things happen by the left, and unfortunately by the Obama administration itself, is they begin to tell a narrative, to tell the story differently than most people perceive it to be. For instance, in this case again, it seems that they go out of their way to say that this was, you know, kind of a lone wolf, and that he was a disturbed individual, that he acted by himself. There's no contact with anybody else. This is more of a mental illness case than it is an Islamic terrorist case. And they seem to just go out of their way to do this. And yet, when we look at some of the facts about just how broad the attacks have been, not just here in the United States, but across the world, they seem to tell a completely different story. For instance, on the religionofpeace.com, on their website, www.thereligionofpeace, all one word, .com, they've been keeping track of the number of incidents that have taken place. Two different scorekeeping here. One is the number of attacks, Islamic attacks, that have been carried out since 9/11, since the attacks here in the United States on 9/11. That number right now stands at 28,647. There's been 28,647 separate attacks, Islamic attacks, where the perpetrator said themselves that they are doing this attack as a result of the teachings of Islam. And to bring it up a little bit more to date, since Ramadan started, and by the way, the president made a bit with big fanfare, announced the start of Ramadan again this year. There have been, this is day 16 of Ramadan, a month, supposedly the holy month of Islam. There have been now 122 attacks and almost 1,000 people killed. 938 people have been killed. Now, you compare that with all of the other religions combined during this same period of time, and the number of people that have been killed in the name of those religions, right now that stands at zero. And the number of people that have been killed by so-called Islamophobes, you know, those are supposed to have some sort of an undue fear of Muslims and therefore are attacking them and killing them and so forth, that number stands as zero as well. There's been zero attacks, zero people killed in those other two categories. But 121 killed or attacks, separate attacks, and 938 people killed worldwide during the month of Ramadan. So, Robert, this whole narrative about that this is just one or two bad apples within the mix, it really doesn't stand up with the facts, does it?
Not even close. Not even close, Pastor. And it's really a scandal that we're being misled, intentionally misled, by government officials, by law enforcement officials, and by the mainstream media. I'll give you an example. Last summer of 2015, there was a Muslims Against ISIS demonstration in Toronto, and 50 Muslims showed up. 50. Okay, so that's great. There are 50 moderates. Meanwhile, a few months before that, after the murder of the cartoonists who drew Muhammad in Paris, at Charlie Hebdo in January 2015, there was a demonstration in Chechnya against the cartoonists and saying that it was good that they'd been killed. And 800,000 Muslims showed up for that.
Wow.
800,000 versus 50 against ISIS. We don't see the large numbers of Muslims demonstrating against ISIS or doing anything about it. We don't see Muslims raising up armies to go fight against ISIS. We don't see any program in any mosque in the United States to teach Muslims why they should reject the understanding of Islam that ISIS and Al-Qaeda offer. And so we hear that it's just a few bad apples, as you say, a tiny minority of extremists. There is nothing on the grounds to back that up. We do not see any significant pushback from Muslims against this idea of Islam. And that belies the idea that it's just a tiny minority. In reality, the tiny minority are the Muslims who really oppose it.
Mm-hmm. Robert, not only do we see this in the overt actions where people are killed and so forth, murdered ruthlessly and brutally, like we saw here in Orlando, but there's other parts of Sharia that are much more embraced as well, like the way that women are treated. And, well, in this case, because it was at a gay nightclub, the way that gays are treated and thought of and spoken of really persecuted in Islamic countries. Speak just a second about those two things.
Yeah, it's very simple. Muhammad said that homosexuals should be put to death. That is Islamic law. That doesn't mean every Muslim is going to kill gays when he sees them, but certainly Omar Mateen, the Orlando Jihad mass murderer, believed, there's no doubt whatsoever, that he was acting in accord with Allah's wishes, and that he was doing something that would please Allah and gain him blessing, and that was because he was acting in accord with Muhammad's command. And it's the same thing. With women, there is a rampant abuse, spousal abuse, in the Islamic world. It's not even reported in most cases, and it's taken for granted, such that it's scandalous that in Britain there are Sharia courts, courts that operate according to Islamic law. And women have gone to those courts and said they've been beaten, and the Sharia courts, instead of referring them to the British criminal courts, have just said, well, you have to work harder to please your husband. And why is this? Because the Quran, the holy book of Islam, says that a disobedient woman should be beaten. And so this is, spousal abuse is something that's universal, but this is in particular in Islam that it's given divine sanction and said that it's a good thing. And so these things always go back to Islamic teachings, the very thing that our government and law enforcement officials seem determined to deny and ignore.
Mm. Robert, there's two groups that have positioned themselves as the leaders of the moderates and so forth, and they've been embraced by the Obama administration whole scale as well. One is CARE. And the other group is the Muslim Brotherhood. We only have a couple minutes left in the interview, and I know those are two big subjects, but just tell our listeners about these two groups and what they're really doing.
Absolutely. CARE is actually a group that's linked to the Muslim Brotherhood, and we know this because the Muslim Brotherhood in the early 90s laid out a strategy for conquering the United States. And it sounds fanciful when you say it that way, because people think of conquest in terms of armies, but the Muslim Brotherhood document, a captured internal document of the Muslim Brotherhood, was very clear that it was going to do this by not by armies or its conventional methods, but what they were working at, and this is in their own words, was eliminating and destroying Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands, that is the hands of the people in the West, and the hands of the believers so that it falls and Allah's religion is victorious over other religions. That's what they're working toward by their own words. And the same document included a list of allied organizations of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. One of them was the Islamic Association for Palestine, which no longer exists. It was shut down for funding the jihad terror group Hamas. But from the Islamic Association of Palestine comes CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, that has been named an unindicted co-conspirator in a Hamas funding case, has opposed every anti-terror measure that was ever implemented anywhere, and tells Muslims not to cooperate with law enforcement. And so this is hardly a moderate group, should not have any role in the Obama administration, except that the Obama administration is so hospitable to Islamic supremacists and jihadists that it's no surprise.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for your work that you have done there at Jihad Watch about speaking about these issues. I'm afraid that the American people, many of the American people, are naive as to just what a threat the jihadis really pose here in the United States. And they've unfortunately bought into this, the messages that have been sent out even by the administration about this moderate message. And unfortunately, they've bought into it to our peril here in the United States. But we appreciate the work that you do there at jihadwatch.org in exposing these things and helping us to think through what is taking place. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having me on.
Okay. Again, that was Robert Spencer, and Robert is the director of what's called Jihad Watch. You can go out to their website there. It's jihadwatch.org, and out there you'll find out, you know, why Jihad Watch? Why does this site even exist? You can find out more about Robert himself. You can learn about Islam out there. What does Islam really teach? There's a section out there on Islam 101. Robert's books are available out there, and pamphlets and videos. It's a really great site to find out all that you need to know about this. Jihadwatch.org.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.